So that's the importance of it in the Kali Yuga, the family of Acharya, because then they know how they think, and so then they write according to the time, place, and circumstances.
Maharaj, when the Prabhupada sent his disciples, in the last days of Prabhupada, sent his disciples to take Diksha from Sridhar Maharaj.
From?
Sridhar Maharaj.
Yeah.
Oh, to take instruction.
Yeah. Instruction.
Yeah.
He said Diksha.
So, what really happened in these days? I mean, I want to hear.
I can say what I understand.
Yes.
See, Prabhupada was specific what he told them to learn from him. One is he told them because he has said Sridhar Maharaj can write, is qualified to write purports. He said, of his god brothers, then. Is himself and Sridhar Maharaj were qualified to write purports. So then he said, you go to Sridhar Maharaj because now they were taking up the duties of guru. So it's a new thing for them because all they knew is how to deal with one guru. And it's very easy because everybody's a disciple of that and you only have one. Everybody's a disciple of that and you only have one guru. And there's no interaction and very few interacted with Prabhupada's godbrothers. Some of the ones that lived in India when Prabhupada was there had such dealings. You know, you would see Tamal Krishnamurti, Bhavananda, Jagannatha, Chukananda. You know, like a handful would have interacted with them and kind of like learned some of the etiquettes and seen some of the things. But they probably would have learned the etiquette from their side, not from that senior Vaishnava side, how he was dealing with his god brothers and things like that. So he sent the devotees to Sridhar Maharaj to learn how as an initiating guru to interact with the disciple, with the god brothers, with the institution, the whole thing like that. So they went and discussed, but the nature, I've seen it, it seems to be an inherent weakness of the, specifically the American psyche, is that if somebody's good at one thing, he's good at all things. So therefore, it's just like you go to your mechanic and then he's really good with the car and special, so you start asking him about, you know, how to, you know, take care of your family. You get off and other things like that, you know. You know, so it's, but he knows how to fix cars, not necessarily families, you know. So therefore, they started asking other things and how administration and all these, which wasn't his strong point. He had one mock that was unfinished, and you know, it wasn't a strong situation like that. He was a good thinker, you know, a good practitioner himself, but as far as institution, it was not his strong point. So then they asked so many different things, and then from that somehow,
from the point of view institutional, not for philosophical.
No, philosophical wasn't what they went to him for, like that. They were asked to go to him, what was the etiquette of a devotee in interacting with God brothers and disciples of those God brothers, and you know, the whole thing, the whole family scene, like that, what it meant. But from what I understand from others who tell me, who were either, you know, kind of like, almost involved or involved, is that it didn't exactly follow what he said. Because what he was saying is a little bit more complicated. You know, you have to be very considerate of God brothers, this, that means you're a guru for your disciples, not for your God brothers. To them, you're just a God brother. Like that. And depending upon your relationship with them, just because you have disciples doesn't make you suddenly senior amongst the God brothers. Like that. You're senior amongst the God brothers by what is your natural seniority amongst them, like that. It means you have qualities they respect, you're respected by them, you know? Like that. You don't have anything that's, you know, unique, then you're another godmother, you interact as equals. Or if they are senior to you, they made you a devotee, they preached you and all that, you'll be junior. Even if you have disciples and they don't, they're still to you, they're senior godmother. So these are subtleties, you know, and so it appeared that what happened was is this was a little too difficult to, you know, at that time to really be able to understand or accommodate. So then they just decided, well, Prabhupada said, do as I do. But that meant the principles, not necessarily the details. So then they decided, well, that's the easiest thing, just you know, the gurus are on top of the pile and this and that. And they even came to the point where they're trying to put the head in the charya board. And that was above the GBC instead of below. So this is completely against. It was falling in the same trap that Prabhupada's godbrothers had fallen into when they rejected the GBC. Because they originally had a GBC, the Gaudiya. And then after, some say 2 years, some say 8 years, they dissolved it and then established an acharya, world acharya. That person then had trouble, and then the mats broke up into, you know, you had mat acharyas like that. So they maintained the acharya principle. Well, Prabhupada wanted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's principle GBC. So then, you know, these things just started to go. So culturally is where they were making their problem, and then that culture was starting to affect the administration. So then it just fell apart. But that's what they asked him to go to them for, not for other instructions and all that. It was specifically for that etiquette. Okay, because he was very expert in etiquettes and things like that. It was kind of his strong.
I heard those tapes, the instructions. You heard the tapes?
No, I didn't.
He was saying, like, they were saying, well, do we get yasas, do we get mantras? He said, in good time, just like, you know, he gave some examples that gradually, you know, woman becomes fertile and all some things he gave, but they didn't follow that.
No.
They immediately, like I said, they...
Yeah, others also said Damodar Maharaj, who used to be, he lived next door, he was always hanging out with us. Always come and sit there and all that. He was saying it's dangerous, you know, it can cause problems because everybody's young, it's a new thing, and they might have some difficulty later if they take up such a big decision. You know, philosophically there's no problem. You know, you could make a gold Vyasa sun that reaches up to the stars and put the guru on, it's not big enough. But the point is the person themselves, their realization big enough, you know? So therefore he was pointing out is that one should be careful. So others also mentioned that it's, presumably made the point that you know, this is just the etiquette and all that. And this is how it would look. So it's not important to get into these things. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you don't recognize there that who's a guru and who's not, who has disciples. Doesn't like that.
It's hard to imagine.
No, but you'll find there hundreds of persons are gurus. If they weren't, then Narahari Sarpa is already saying hundreds have fallen down, and he's a couple of generations down. He said there's plenty of examples of gurus falling, and so therefore this is the method to take advantage of all these different things. There were so many. They all had disciples. They all had followers. That's not the important thing. When you're dealing with godbrothers, it's not that you're a guru. No, they're your godbrothers. You know, it's just like when the father deals with his brother, it's not that when he's a father, he deals with his brother any differently than if he didn't have children. There's no difference. His brotherly relationship is the same as whatever was established when they were kids. They're either an older brother or a younger brother. That's just the way it is. You know? And so, therefore, they interact. And if things change, okay, let's say the younger brother becomes more qualified, he's more expert in the finances and that, so then he may, you know, take care of the older brothers and all that in that way. But still, he'll respect them as older. He'll deal with them as older. He'll use the terminology of someone respectful. But he's the one that's actually running things. But that's just because of his abilities. It's not inherent just because you have children. Now suddenly your relationship with your brother changes. Just because he doesn't have any children, it's not. It's a cultural misunderstanding. You know, it's improper, but it's understandable when you're dealing with people who don't know the culture. You know, but now with time, devotees are starting to see and the ability to appreciate the subtleties of the culture are there. I would say devotees are. You know, in a position of experience and purity, that they can start to see these. You know, then wherever I found that these subtleties of culture are discussed, basically everybody can understand it and be comfortable with it. Like that.
One of the things Sheila Marsh said, I remember this very comment now, is that one of the main points he made several times was, okay, this is like when you get married, now you go out, you have your purpose, you get your own apartment separately. So you don't, you're not worshiping your guru's temple, but you should, if you have your, established your own temple, you can be worshiped. Right. And they started thinking, well, what's this? This is like, we shouldn't be Mahacharya. I don't know how they rationalized, but they said, no, we won't do that. We'll just be gurus and prabhas temples. So the little that he gave, the good stuff that he gave was ignored.
Yeah. But also on that, that was an administrative thing because he was the one that was dismantled and resolved the GBC like that. So it was his idea of the Acharya system. So basically he was kind of pointing it back into
Acharya.
Yeah, he was.
So they were fearful, but at the same time it was good advice.
Yeah. But the principle is you know, you accept the worship somewhere else. But in his mind, it means that you're start a whole other mission.
Like, right after Prabhupada left, Tamal was getting his little puja up in a room in Bombay, and that seemed okay. You know, they were up
there. Yeah, it's fine, because it's a family thing. It's not a public thing. You know, the show of affection for your own father is means in public, it's reduced. You know, you can tell. The person stands next to them, respectful of them. Oh, this must be, he's big, he's small, they're intimate, and he must be his son. Like that, you know. But all the things that you would do, you know, in the house for the father, you wouldn't do that in public and ignore the other, you know. So there was that aspect there of his, is that he was talking about, because he started the Mahacharya system, right? His system, like that. So therefore, he also recommended it to us. So then they took it from, then when the devotee, they didn't like it, then he recommended, you know, kind of more, you know, something. So therefore,
if you give flowers to your godbrothers before they worship you, you worship them. That was never instituted.
Yeah, yeah. So the basic thing is there's no need to get into the temple scene because it won't work anyway. When you have hundreds of gurus, you can't set up 100 vyasasams.
When he was laughing, he said, they will have vyasasams from the mountain to the sea. So he heard that they're doing that in Vrindavan, New Vrindavan, they had set up something like that, and he was laughing, saying, they will have Vyasasam from the mountain to the sea.
So it's impractical. It's just,
he was pretty clever. I mean, if you can figure out what Prabhupada said and what he said and line it up and get it right, which was you wanted to take right above.
Yeah, that's all. He's, except for that point of just open your own, you know, that everything else is sort of popular. But the thing is that you do something like that separately, privately. It's not that it's, the point is the disciples have to be trained to the point where they are able to exchange and have that faith in the guru and worship of the guru without having to be completely external like that. But at the same time is you don't want to completely cut out any methods for them to also express. So you have to find that balance. So the problem was is that this, the tendency is just, well, this is the easiest, and so, you know, everybody's going to like it a little bit, you know. And so, you know, it's a common thing.
I remember being shocked because Tamal, like I said, was in this room having his puja, and then I flew to Sweden in June of 78. And, you know, it was, got to Sweden, and there's Tariq Gage is right in the middle of the temple on the Vyasasam. He said, oh, then I thought, oh, he got a name and everything. And I thought, oh. He said, Marma, it's just as far as you got the name. Chair. I mean, I was just in Bombay. It's not going on there. But you know, this is funny. You know? Are you sure you're ready for this? Then you couldn't get up in the morning. And I was saying, you sure you should be initiating all these people? You can't come to the programs. I mean, the bhakas have to come and you're the group, and you don't come. And he said, it's all right, you know, because no one's qualified anyway.
Yeah, it means it's so the etiquette's followed and things work more smoothly. And then the strength is there, the whole thing. Because just like we see Bhakti Lata course, the initiation, you know, wasn't that strong. I would say that it would be harder than if it's neophyte. I don't think. But
well, people asked him why Bhakti Lata had a choice of so many persons, it seems. Why didn't he?
He was saying it was a long time to find. He was looking, he couldn't find.
Right, but then why take Vipin Gilhari? It must have something.
Because he was basically, Viksha-wise, is authorized. He is a practicing Vaishnava Brahman who has received the mantra in the proper line. You know? But his instructions were not of great value like that. So therefore we see etiquette towards him was very nice. But the siksha was taken in general like that because he was more properly in mind like that. His line of the Rupa Nuga was more direct than he could say that Nivari. It's nice because that was kind of the Goswami line. It's like that you're qualified as the guru because you've been born in that line. That's bogus. If you're qualified in that line because you're qualified, then that's enough. You know? So that's the difficulty is that the well. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example of the well. They had a family well, and then they always drink water from that. But with time, it's becoming old and polluted, and people are getting sick by drinking that water. But no, this well is our traditional well. So he's saying is that maybe at one point the Goswami lines had some value, but it's not inherent because they're coming down from Nityananda, they're coming down from this and that. That's not.
But Narayanraj used that same example about his time that is now important as well.
Thing is you see is that if you follow what Prabhupada gave, it works. You know, you go over to Poland, they're making devotees and everything expanding and developing hands and fist. The place where they don't follow, it's falling apart. So if you follow, it works. You don't follow, it doesn't work. That's all. So it's not that something is eternal damnation. Absolute means to send the fire out of the fire. You put it in the fire, it works. You don't take it out of the fire, it's cold. So therefore, those who are following, it works for them. Those who are not, it doesn't. So if someone is not coming to the temple, not chanting, not reading, not chanting the Gayatri, not doing anything, okay, they're vegetarian, like that, then they won't be much inspired. But if they chant and they follow those things, then they will be. So if one takes it up, one will be inspired, one doesn't, one won't be inspired. Like that. So if you follow the system, it works. Like that. So it, depending upon one's experience and things like that, one comes in contact and one sees maybe it's more working or less working. But the system still works. Your body works.
So this is no important or is this less important to find out than
if you can, that's good, but not at the expense of changing lines. Because then the siksha is coming down in that way. And so therefore then what will support that? But so one is careful about that. Because the point is we're only looking at this as a slight difficulty, you know, when I look at it like that, at this point, you know, give it another 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years, you know, you're going to have plenty of devotees. Otherwise, if it doesn't work, you know, it means if you're going to be able to go back to Godhead, that means you have to become an Uttamadhikari first. Right? Because Uttamadhikari starts from Baba. So if one can't get to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, you know, after Brahma-Bhuta, you call that an Uttamadhikari. From Nishta up to that point, you call that a mandir. And from Shraddha through an Arthamavriti, you call that a Kanista. So if they can't get to there, how do they go back to Godhead? You know? So that means at some point, even if you take it that there's no one there today, but tomorrow there will be. There has to be, otherwise the mission failed. Mission. So that's one thing. Two is also what is the definition of an Uttamadhikari? Like that, because there's various definitions that are there. Because the difficulty comes is the Kanista can't see anything other than himself. Only an Uttamadhikari can see Uttamadhikaris. A Madhyam can more look in a way and get a general idea like that. A Madhyam can understand and generally, you know, like that. But the only one who clearly sees is the Uttamadhikari. Like that, because they're on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Like that. So therefore, how will the Kanista know anyway? So therefore, the acharyas give very simple definitions. Those who others see it and they are inspired to chant. These are the ways you tell a Buddha. Like that. So we see that even amongst many of our powerful preachers that's there, you know. And you see the potency of the Uttamadhikari there, because many times any devotee walks down the street and people go by and go, hey, Hare Krishna, and stuff like that. So that means that potency is there. Maybe it's small, like Sridhar Maharaj gives the example of, is that the potency is there. It's like a river. Some are like a small stream, and some are as broad as the Ganges. So he gave an example that Srila Prabhupada was like the Ganges, calling himself and his godbrothers were like streams. Like that. But the potency is there. It's just how much is coming through. So even the neophyte, some potency is coming through. But it's just, you want enough potency coming through that you're inspired. So if you're inspired and you're taking up, you're following the principles, you're chanting, you're engaging in the service, you're advancing, then potency is coming through. So one isn't lost. And then until one has learned everything that that person has to offer, only then you have a question of needing to look for directions in other places. But Prabhupada's books and all that are there to take advantage. That's many times not understood. Devotees aren't. I would say if you ask most devotees, they don't understand that they can approach Prabhupada directly through his books. I don't think it is a well-known principle in our society, even though that is the principle. But they won't understand that. They don't think that they have a direct relationship with Krishna and Sishya. That's how the Lutheran thing comes up. They want a direct relationship with Prabhupada. But they're seeing it because of the neophyte position, they're seeing it that the ritual is what's the real connection, rather than the instruction is the real connection. So then they're recommending that therefore we take initiation from Prabhupada. Like that. There's no need of that. Prabhupada as the Diksha Guru is second rate, because our Parampara doesn't even bother acknowledging who the Diksha Gurus are of the devotees there. It only acknowledges the Siksha Guru. We know they have Diksha Gurus all the way back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for us, that's not what's important. So the Diksha lines aren't what's seen, it's the Siksha. So therefore, we relegate Prabhupada to this lesser position. You know, but it's the neophyte, because the neophyte works on what's external. You can see it. So you can see an initiation. You can see a name. I got a name, a change. People call me something different. You know, so you really feel that something's happened. While if I just read the books and get the instruction, then, you know, I take it or leave it as I please. So that's the, you know, same way as the neophyte feels that if someone sensually goes off the rails and this guy's a number one nonsense demon and all that, if philosophically it's awful, it's not so bad, because to them they don't understand these things.
But Marge is mentioned, so-and-so took initiation, just like when Shane Doss came, or
I'm saying a few do. Yeah, the kind of same thing. But that's not when we see our parampara. It doesn't. We don't see a list that also shows the Diksha Pranali all the way back.
But the interesting thing is, like, they come and immediately say, you know, get initiated by Gopal Bhatta and say, well, just go to study with Jiva.
Yeah, well, because it means that there would be these aspects. It's whoever is the one that would be able to do that, that's done.
On the basis of that, Maharaj, can one argue that diksha isn't really then necessary?
No, diksha, if you're conditioned, you have to have diksha. Like that, that's the thing. If you're not conditioned, if you're already on the Uttam Brahma-Bhuta platform, then you don't need it, because then your diksha is siksha. See, in the Bhagavad line, siksha is the diksha. But for someone who's conditioned, you have to add to that diksha, then the pancharatra. That's why then the verse says that diksha means hearing the instructions. Because that's the definition, that's the core, that's the principle of it. But in Pancharatra, it's not the form of it. Like that. The instruction is there. In other words, the prominent siksha guru gives you diksha. Because once you have diksha, you have to listen to the instructions. Like that. While before, you may take it or leave it. The neophyte has a tendency to take words lightly, especially in Kali Yuga. It means in the other three ages, words meant something. The word was spoken and was absolute. I said something, I would do it. But in this age, it has to be written, because the written, the spoken word doesn't mean anything. So therefore, also that an initiation for the conditioned soul, the spoken word isn't as powerful as the ritual, like that, as far as creating samskara, or, you know, that impression on the mind. It means you speak to the person, and they've given them all the knowledge by which you could go back to Godhead. You know, then it's like, this sounds interesting. But you sit them down and run a ritual, then it's like, now I'm part of this samskara. I'm initiated. I'm here. Here's my guru and all. Well, the same thing is when you give them before, you don't take it. So, plus the puncher, the Bhagavad is working on that. You've heard that. You'll do that 24 hours a day. There'll be no impediments to the conditioning. Well, since we have the conditioning, then the pancharatra then regulates your life. You know, you get up at this time, you take your bath, you're going to do this, you're going to brush your teeth, you're going to put on your tilak, you're going to go to Mangalarti at this time, you're going to take rest at this time, you're going to only eat at this time, you're only eat in this way, you're only going to go to the toilet in this way. So then you regulate your life so that it keeps you out of sinful activities. That's the purpose of the pancharatra. To keep us out of sin, and to so that our engagement with the senses is progressive. Because once we get to the level of Brahma-Bhuta, then the whole need of that drops off, like that. Because when you get to the Brahma-Bhuta, then one comes to the level of Srup-Siddhi. And the Srup-Siddhi, that is then the completion of the Diksha Guru's job. He was supposed to bring you from Bhajanakriya to Siddhartha. Once that's there, his job's done. Take you what is before for Bhajanakriya, and what's after that Siddhartha. That is Srupa Siddhi. That is the Siksha Guru's realm. But the Siksha goes through the whole thing. So therefore, the Siksha element runs from the beginning eternally. And the Diksha has a limited, you know, purview, like that. So once that's accomplished, it's done, like that. But it's the Diksha Guru is supposed to give you the tools by which you can get to there. But to give you the Siddha Pranala, to give you the Srup Siddhi, doesn't have to be given by the Diksha Guru. Because, see, Kanisthan Madhyam, one can progress by one's own determination. But to get into the platform of Uttamadikara is by invitation over, like that. So who will invite you in, and who will reveal to you your form? That can be Krishna, or his associate, or your guru. So it doesn't matter. It can be anybody.
But Maharishi, people don't. I don't understand Brahma-Bhuta. I thought Brahma-Bhuta means could be a Brahma body.
No, Brahma-Bhuta simply means liberated. You
almost said that then you need to be jumping into...
What I'm saying is, because I'm explaining it in our language, means I'm going into the Abhideya rather than just the you know, aspect, is that the means Asakti and Bhava, the border of that is Brahma-Bhuta.
The border?
Yeah, it means where they meet.
Oh.
Where they meet, that is the Brahma-Bhuta. So when a Shakti gets to that point, then you become liberated. Then from there, then you can be invited into.
That's a byproduct.
Yeah, it's a byproduct. That's so therefore for us, we go straight through it. It's not, for the Maya bodies, that is their goal. But for us, it's just like going through the door. It's like saying go from this room to the temple. You know,
the doorway.
Yeah, like that. But you have to be at the point where you're at the doorway to get into the room. So unless you're on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, unless you're liberated, you can't pick up Srupa. It won't work. Your Srupa is already there now, but we can't operate it because we're not liberated. As soon as you're liberated, then you can start to operate. But still, Bhava is not perfect, because you have to learn how to operate your Srupa. And then when you perfect that, that's called Vastu Srupa. That point, then you don't have a dual body. Then you don't have the body here and there. Vastu Siddhi means then you give up this body and you only keep function as spiritual.
But to somebody to give you the Siddha Pranali, you must be in Uttamadikari.
You must already be there to receive it. Before that, it's not necessary. That's why even within the Raganuga, the Madhyam has a general idea. Like it says, Brahma, he understood his position as a maidservant of Krishna, but didn't understand the details. Therefore, he understood that his rasa with Krishna was as a maidservant. The details wouldn't be understood until he gets to the Brahma Bhuta platform. Like that.
And he's eligible to hear directly the food of Krishna, and how can we say it's not, how can we downplay his position?
It's not a matter of downplaying, it's a matter if you want to technically look at the principle of it. Like that. Because you see he was still attractive, he ran after his daughter and different things like that. You still would have these mental...
Could that be a different Brahman at different times? Sometimes it's said that.
No, it's not. It's
because
not so
three, because the three verses that are quoted from Second Canto, where you won't be thwarted at any time, he has a benediction.
Yeah, but the point is when you're on that platform, you can move very fast. It means Duryodhana also was seen. So Krishna wants to show himself to you, then the most pious person in the universe becomes Brahma. He doesn't have to be an advanced devotee. It
seems like the most pious person would be the most advanced devotee.
Not necessarily. Because the most advanced devotee wouldn't be being Brahma. He wouldn't be interested in that. He'd go outside. So therefore, it's someone who's very pious is still interested in material dealings and Vedic culture and all those things like that. So then that person becomes Brahma. So he's the who's most elevated in the universe. So he may not be, there'll probably be a range within which Brahma fits. So he may be at the bottom and you're on top of that. If there's someone built too far below, then Krishna will take a position of Brahma. But if not, then someone will do it.
So it's more Bhakti Nose says, well, I've become a worm.
Yeah, he said he'd rather be that than a Brahma who's not a devotee. So that means Brahma cannot be a devotee, but he'll see Krishna. Just because you see Krishna doesn't mean that you're necessarily surrendered. That's the whole process of why we have to go through all this practice. Because if Krishna suddenly walked in now, what would he do? it's like, sit him down and want to watch a movie or something. Can I get you a Coke?
You'd ask him to bring the Coke.
Oh, thank you. Bring your own.
Just as a point of clarification, you were mentioning how the Diksha Guru's job is temporary in the sense that the disciple reaches a certain point, and then the Diksha Guru's job is done.
Yeah, it's just like the condition nature is temporary, so therefore the mechanical function of the pancha samskar.
Does the relationship between
the
disciple
stays.
And the guru change?
No, that stays. It means always there's a change when one comes onto the liberated platform and once in the pastimes of the Lord, then the relationship with the guru is more his friend, but they're a senior friend. They're a friend then. Like that, like we see with Gopa Kumar when he came into the pastimes and was admitted into the pastimes, and his guru was there as another Catholic boy, but it was as a friend like that. Though they are, it's an intimate friend, like an intimate friend, but they're the leading of it.
Yes, I ask because, we think of the guru as our eternal master.
Yeah, but that's still a master on that level. It's just like you can be ruled by intimate friendship also.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But the on reverence is not there. Like that. That reverence may be there for your group leader. Whatever, like if you're in the Cowherd Boy line, it may be there with, Sri Dham, if he's here, it may be very reverential towards him, but, the other Cowherd Boys don't want to be.
It could be said that your relationship then becomes more intimate.
It becomes more intimate. Like that. So that intimacy naturally. It's just like if you take on reverence and increase the intimacy, it becomes friendship. Like that. So it's just that it's just the way it, it's just the way rasa works.
On another somewhat related matter, sometimes you see the devotees will take shelter of our ISKCON line, and then being attracted to someone who is advertised at least as an Uttama Adhikari, they give up the relationship with the Diksha Guru and go and take either Diksha or some sort of shelter of that personality. Is that some mistake in that?
It's not so important to do that. It means if that is a catalyst through which one becomes inspired, that's okay. But there's, especially if the guru that one has is bona fide, there's no need to take the diksha. And the sixth also is that means the point of that you become enthused, but to take up, but then you would naturally work within the line that you are there, because there are those boundaries. I mean, I have never seen, you know, anyone from the Gaudiya Mutt going to someone else and they're just working within their scene if their guru had a line. I've seen Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj working under Madhav Maharaj in his mouth. He just sit there because he had no disciples and he had no interest in getting involved in the mission. But as soon as he had, then he started his own thing, you know. And then he would go to their functions and stuff like that, a big festival and all that, but he wasn't part of their institution. He had his own. Like that. Same also with any of the monks, you know, like that. And the Naimara, she's within the Devananda Gaudiya Mutt. And so Vaman Maharaj is the Acharya. So then he also has other god brothers. You know, they're all god brothers. Like that, Trivikram Maharaj and some others, I think it's about three or four of them. So when they want to take disciples and that, they open their own mutts. And Narayan Mutt has his own temple in Sabakunj. So he has his own scene.
It would be nice if that was actually the line that's being promoted by Narayan Maharaj and his disciples, but it's not.
It's how you say it? It's, I would say, because I'm not close enough to say what Maharaj is saying. I would say that, at least from what I know of in the, you know, somewhat past, you know, go back some years, most of what's being said is being said by the disciples. It's not so much him. And then through the disciples, he hears what we say, right? We don't hear what he says. We hear how his disciples have interpreted it. And so then we say something.
But then they
interpret it, and it goes back to him.
But so there are transcribed lectures, for example, he'll say, like, ISKCON was begun by Lord Brahma. Everything is ISKCON.
Yeah, there is that aspect. Because, I mean, Prabhupada also was saying that in the purport. And, I don't know, was that the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first one? Get confused. Yeah, it was the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But where are we? You have to ask in the temple which
might be a 7 text 60 was what you gave.
Yeah,
Saturday.
Okay. So that one in there probably is describing the same exact point, is that the Krishna consciousness movement is not new. It started by Krishna. So founder of Acharya is Krishna, not Brahma.
Right. But not to split hairs. I was talking about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Yeah, because the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, if you translate it, means, let us look at it this way. Vishva means international or even universal. Vaishnav, Raja. Raja means Krishna. Sabha means society. So the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he's taken that from Bhavanamrita. Krishna Bhavanamrita. So Bhavanam, Krishna Consciousness. So that's where he coined. So he's just taking from the Acharya. So Vishnu Vaishnava Rajasabha is Rupa Goswami's system that we all follow.
Well, is this?
So
maybe the way I'm thinking of it is what you were speaking of earlier in terms of branches of the Chaitanya tree.
Means you have to distinguish between ISKCON, meaning Krishna's mission, and specifically Lord Chaitanya's mission. That is the contemporary manifestation of Krishna's mission to allow living entities to go to Braja Vrindavan. So that mission is there throughout the whole universe. So all the Vaishnava who are coming in the four Vaishnava Sampradayas are actually in the same mission. But because of where they want to go is different, therefore you have the four lines. And then within that, then he specifically gets to Braja Vrindavan, like that. And then with then within that, then the Saraswatas, because Saraswatas then is how to apply Yukta Vairagya in the modern age. Bhaktivinoda was like on the Sunday, between when it was still Vedic and when it was becoming modern. Like that, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established how it's used in this age, now in the modern scenario. Because before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you had Vedic, you know, and after him, you had modern. And he was kind of like showed the branch. He showed how to get across to the intellectuals, how to preach in these fields, how to do your service, you know, in the modern scene, plus be Krishna conscious. He was a good grihastha, did his duties, and this, you know. No one can say, oh, well, he wasn't really into his grihastha like that. 12 kids, you know. You know, no one can say that, you know, well, he didn't actually involve himself in his duty. He was a magistrate to receive, you know, he's meant to 30 to 50 cases in 3 hours, you know, and finalize them, you know, they're finished, you know. So you know, he did well, you know. So like that, at the same time, is then how to make a machine out of it. He showed how an